Hey everybody, welcome back to Take on the Lake. I'm Nathan Bechtel. Thanks so much for tuning in. So it's just me today, and we're going to talk a little about what's coming in this new season of Take on the Lake, what to expect, and some things that we've been already talking about in 2026. So I figured it's 2026, let's just call it a new season of Take on the Lake. So if you're listening on your podcast app, it might show season two. That would be why. We actually already had one episode this year so far. So if you have not caught that one, that was my interview with Chris Edgar. I actually shot it before the end of 2025, but now it's 2026. And so go back and check that one out. That was a really, really interesting conversation with Sheriff Chris Edgar. So take a look at that. Apologies for the major lull in episodes. We have really appreciated folks who listen, and sorry for not giving y'all an episode, but you know, once in a month, basically, of 2026 so far. That's the result of holidays and not getting some stuff recorded. And then also I was out of town for a couple weeks, took the family to the East Coast. We did the Disney thing. So actually stay tuned on that, because I've got another friend from the lake who is taking his kids to Disney. And we were like, okay, after we both have done Disney, we are definitely doing a Dad's Disney Tips episode of Take on the Lake. So stay tuned for that. That should actually be a lot of fun. Some rants, some raves, and possibly even some helpful tips, because I do feel like I learned some things about Disney, different ages of kids, what works, what doesn't. I'm not the only person who's ever figured this out, but it was an interesting experience for sure. So that one's coming a little later this spring. That said, we are working on some really awesome guests for some of our upcoming episodes, and I wanted to give you a little preview on that. So again, go back and catch that episode with Camden County Sheriff Chris Edgar. That was a really fascinating interview. And then coming soon, and I'm name dropping these so that now I definitely have to make these happen, but all these folks I've already been talking to about coming on the show. One that I'm really excited about is Jeff Tegedoff. That's the developer for the Oasis at Lakeport. He also developed the Preserve at Sycamore Creek Apartments in Osage Beach. And inarguably the most prolific and active developer at the lake in recent years, definitely also the most controversial. Everything from the tax incentive stuff that he received for those projects. Some people have had asked questions about either his background, or there's a lawsuit that he actually faced, not around here, but with another project in St. Louis this past year. So all of those things we're going to talk about. Also going to get, he has a really, really fascinating backstory. I've heard a little bit of it. And anyways, I won't give any spoilers yet, but you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that episode, because learning a bit more about him, what makes him tick, and hearing some personal conversation about some things, I don't know, I think that's going to be really cool. So he's coming on, and that episode should be coming out in the next few weeks, I hope. The next one is Justin Wagner. So Justin is, this guy is an absolute legend. Like, he started from literally almost nothing, running his little shop out of the back of his van, doing like audio work for boats and stuff. And he has just done awesome work. He created his own line of like audio products, basically. And now he owns a major powerboat manufacturing company. Like, and the dude's like, I don't know, my age ish, right? So really, really cool. And he also has some really cool things cooking around the lake area that we're going to talk about. So I've been texting him back and forth. I think we have a record date scheduled coming up pretty soon. So I'm excited about that one. So stay tuned on that one. And then also I'm going to get the one, the man, the myth, the legend, William Holtz from Lake TV is going to come on. So Lake TV has had me on as a guest host from time to time on Cup of Coffee with Will and Chris. In fact, going to be doing some more of those here pretty quick. And they've been really awesome to me. I want to get Will on the show and talk about stuff that Will cares about, because I've known Will a really long time, and there are some passions that that dude has, honestly, that he could run circles around me with in terms of knowledge. But particularly, I think we're going to a lot end up just talking about sports, frankly, and probably also sports betting. So could get a little spicy. Stay tuned on that. That's just a little peek. So for the rest of this episode, I want to give you guys a roundup of the news that we've been reporting on this year so far. So I got four stories, and then the fourth one we're going to like really kind of dig in on. a little bit more. So the first one already this year. So we're a little over a month into the year so far as I record this. And we've had like some really huge stories happen on Lake Expo. You've probably caught all or some of these, but we're going to review some of the big stuff and just kind of give some takeaways. The first one is fixing Highway 54 in Camdenton without a bypass. So you probably know what I'm talking about if you talk about bad traffic in Camdenton. It is the worst traffic spot in Camdenton, right there where Highway 54 hits Highway 5. That intersection is just always bad. Like in the summer with all the vacation traffic, it's really bad. Every weekday when it's not summer and school lets out and like the high school, all the traffic flows out there onto 54, it's really bad. So it's basically just like almost always bad at that intersection. Well, MoDOT has a plan to fix it, and they've been working with Camdenton city leaders to do that. But those city leaders have made a big deal out of the fact that they do not want a bypass. That's their thing. Like no bypass. Because that's kind of the go-to when you have like a clogged sort of main artery going through a city. The thought oftentimes is like, well, let's just, you know, get some like available land that kind of loops around the outside of town. And that's easy to do and, you know, less expensive and whatever a lot of times than figuring out easements, right-of-ways, all this kind of stuff and trying to expand where you already have a lot of pre-existing construction. But I think that Camdenton learned the hard way or learned from Osage Beach's mistakes, I mean to say. Or I don't know if it was mistakes or if it got thrust upon them. You can kind of, you know, figure that out or whichever one of those that it was. But you remember that Highway 54 used to be what we now call Osage Beach Parkway, right? So, a lot of y'all still call it Highway 54 because old habits die hard, right? And for the old timers that grew up coming here, they will be Highway 54 until you are dead and gone, right? Like, that is not Osage Beach Parkway. But yes, indeed, Osage Beach Parkway was once upon a time Highway 54, and that got rerouted because you remember the traffic, right? In the, you know, 80s and 90s and 2000s, it was bad. It was bad coming through Osage Beach because of all the stoplights and all the businesses, and you couldn't make the road any wider and all this stuff. And it was great for the businesses, actually. So it depends on your perspective, like, was it bad or was it not? But there was a ton of traffic. And so they built that bypass that we drive on now, we call Highway 54. Well, Osage Beach, I would say, still hasn't recovered from that. Like what it did to the western half of the city in particular was dramatic. And I think Camdenton has seen that. In fact, I know they have seen that because City Administrator Jeff Hooker has talked to me about that very thing. They saw that and were like, we are not going to do a bypass thing. So, okay, MoDOT and City of Camdenton sit down and are like, okay, what can we do to figure this out? MoDOT has done an entire engineered study on how they're going to fix that clogged intersection between Highway 54 and Highway 5. The plan is that they would essentially widen that area of Highway 54 right through there. And it would basically create like dedicated lanes going each direction that are kind of like a turn lane for people that are on 54 and want to get on northbound 5, because that's where the traffic backs up there at the light, right? And so they would make actually a turn. That's like where Culver's and all that stuff is. They would make a right turn only lane right there so people could kind of just flow through that light. And then on the other side of it, they would create a lane where people are turning, getting off of what would be northbound 5 onto eastbound 54. There would be a lane coming off of there and actually would be a dedicated turn lane onto the road that's right after that. So that's kind of the plan. And MoDOT thinks that will buy a lot of time, like I think at least 10 years or so in terms of getting better traffic flow through there. That's what they want to do. And the problem is, it would take a couple years to get that done anyways. So we're looking at, I don't even know if we'd see that done at the end of 2027, maybe if they started now kind of thing. But they're not going to start now. It's not even going to start in 2026. And we don't know if the governor is even going to release the funds for it. So Governor Kehoe has to actually release the funds that were kind of budgeted for that. That's a whole separate set of decisions. So that's the plan. And that was a big story because I think, A, a lot of people really do not want a bypass. And B, everybody wants to fix the traffic there. So stay tuned on that one. Second story, Mammoth Fieldhouse. This is a huge deal. Mammoth Fieldhouse is a rapidly growing concept in the Midwest where it's basically like a modular sports entertainment complex. So it was just announced that this is coming to the Arrowhead Center development. That's over on Highway KK in Osage Beach. That's like just past Jeffries, where the Arrowhead Senior Living is on one side of the road. Well, most of the other side used to be Dogwood Hills Golf Resort. And now, well, it's mostly empty. So the plan there has been to develop all of that, but they've had trouble getting anything off the ground. So this is, other than the senior center, which was built there, and they actually have some additional things coming right next to that related to the senior living place. But the Mammoth Field House is going to be a really big thing for that development, because the idea obviously is then it would bring other things around it. So again, what Mammoth Field House is, you would call it like a modular styled sports entertainment complex. So this is the kind of thing, it's not, it wouldn't be like Topgolf brand, but it would be like a potentially a Topgolf type component there. Potentially a baseball, again, not exactly batting cages. It's kind of their own proprietary concept that they developed type component there. There's like a basketball type component. There's a like kind of a luxury putting course kind of thing that it's not like putt putt with the, you know, the kind of the dinosaur's mouth or, you know, whatever else kind of silly stuff that's fun for families. But this would be more like, it actually feels like you're on a putting green, and it would be a series of holes basically that are more like putting greens. And so it would be a little bit more of like you're actually putting, right? So it could be any combination of those things. And I think they have one or two others that I'm forgetting about. And the idea is it's a sports entertainment complex. So inevitably, obviously, they would have like food and drink and all that kind of stuff there. And there would be all these sports components. I think they say it's going to be 10 to 12 acres to develop that part of it, and or to develop the whole Mammoth Field House itself. And anyways, it's actually one of the owners of that is one of the owners of the Arrowhead Senior Living across the way. So he's got obviously like a vested interest in making that go there and grow, seeing that development grow. And they've said that they are planning on proceeding with that. Now they've given a timeline of a few years or at least a couple years still. I think they said they're targeting an early 2028 open date on that. And the reason was actually one of the reasons they even were interested in doing a Mammoth Field House here is because of the way the Oasis project is moving along. That's the entertainment complex over at the Grand Glaze Bridge. That one is moving along with a target open date the end of this year for the entertainment complex part of it. And then the Marriott Hotel and Resort side of it, I think they're saying that they hope to open that by the end of 2027. So the Mammoth Field House has said, we think that's going to bring a ton of off-season traffic to the lake. And so we're actually going to plan on opening Mammoth Field House in like early 2028. At least that's the latest that I've heard. So again, another one to stay tuned on. That will be a really cool place to visit. I think locals will love that place and visitors too. So story number three, more demolitions on the Lake Ozark Strip. So the Bagnell Dam Strip there from the dam all the way up, you know, past the elementary school, basically. Lake Ozark is clearing out more old buildings on the strip. They got a $300,000 grant from the state of Missouri, the Department of Economic Development, to do that. And they're going to use that grant to demolish 23 old, dilapidated, probably asbestos, who knows, you know, like all kinds of stuff, structures along the strip. So by my math, that's actually like over a little over $100,000 per structure. That's because I'm good at math. I can figure these things out. But that is, I thought, ironic because that is almost certainly more than it cost to build probably most of those structures when they were built, right? So interesting, but going to spend, you know, a little over $100,000 on average per structure, but tearing down 23 structures along the Bagnell Dam Strip. Some of these are right on the road. Some of them sit back a little ways, but what that's going to do is open up the strip for what the future looks like. And that, I mean, that includes just some more parking space in some places, I would suspect, and then also actually building new things. One of those that's already happening that everybody's watching that isn't something needing to be demolished per se, but is George Tucker's project that he's working on down right next to the dam between Neon Taco and the dam. So watch for that one too. That one you're going to see a lot of progress on this year. He doesn't think probably that's going to open until I think early 2027, but we may see a soft opening towards the end of 2026, but it will certainly be open for the 2027 summer season. So a lot happening on the strip, which is a really good thing. I think everybody wants to see great things happen on the strip. Not everybody agrees what they want to see happen on the strip, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Now, the fourth story is the one that we're going to spend just a little bit more time on. And it's the Outlet Mall Rescue Plan. So the Osage Beach Outlet Mall. Listen, this one has been a story for years and years and years now. No, you know, once upon a time, I mean, like the 90s in particular, but even a lot of the 2000s, the Outlet Mall was like, other than the lake itself, the Outlet Mall was like the economic core of Lake of the Ozarks. Like, people would come to the lake, they would golf, they would get on the boat, and they would go to the Outlet Mall. Like, that was the three activities, right? Like mandatory. I mean, every single woman that came to Lake of the Ozarks went to the Outlet Mall, right? Let's just say this right now. Every one of them did, because you see them all in the comment section about every article that we do about this at Lake Expo. It's hilarious. I mean, people just have like these great memories of coming to the lake, going onto the lake, and going to the Outlet Mall. So in 2024, developers bought the Outlet Mall from Simon. It's been in decline for years. We've been told that like rent rates went up and a whole convergence of things probably happened, diminishing some in terms of just like retail shopping, all kinds of things I think affected it. But that Outlet Mall is a shell of its former self. Once upon a time, it had more than 110 stores. Now it's down to like less than 20 stores. And it's always so bizarre when you go through there and you are like, man, this is, you know, you drive past like 15 empty storefronts to get to like the next one. And everybody knows that it's in rough shape there and everybody wants to see something great happen there. It's in the heart of Osage Beach, at the heart of the lake. So really cool. The developers bought it in 2024 and we have waited for over a year. They bought it like late 2024. I think we've waited for over a year to see their plans and they finally released those plans. So one of the developers is Chris Foster. He's from the Foster family. They've been around the lake for a really long time, done some development, and he's partnered with some other developers from out of the area to do this. They announced their plan. Really, they didn't even announce it. They just submitted the paperwork to the city of Osage Beach for their plan at the end of January. And so that's how we got a hold of the details from that plan, because they submitted it to Osage Beach and there's quite a bit in there. Now, I would love for there to be more details because there's a lot we want to know, but we learned a lot from it. So they are planning a $650 million redevelopment of the Outlet Mall. That is a huge number. That would be, I mean, that would be by far and away the biggest dollar amount spent on a single development at the lake ever. The Oasis at Lakeport right now is slated to cost about $500 million to build. And that's mega. And so this would actually go well beyond the Oasis at Lakeport in terms of dollar amount invested. So a massively ambitious project. They have not dropped a lot of names about what's going in there. We know that they're talking to a lot of retailers, but they have confidentiality agreements and all that stuff. So they aren't sharing names of places that are actually going to be coming to this, because this is going to involve like demolition of some buildings, restoration of some other buildings, and then construction of new stuff. So it's, again, they'll use some of what's there and build a whole lot of other stuff. And so it's going to be really interesting to see like, you know, the before and after on this. But basically, they haven't been able to share who has committed yet or if there even are hard commitments yet from these different ones. But we know one name, Bass Pro Shops. Bass Pro announced in late 2025 that they were going to be coming to the Outlet Mall as like the anchor store at the Outlet Mall. And this is amazing. Everybody's been talking about wanting a Bass Pro Shops at the lake for a really long time. That's like one of the core rumors that gets spread around the lake is Bass Pro Shops is coming. Has been a rumor for years. They've always been like, no, we're not coming. Well, now they are coming. They confirmed it. They like published it on their website with a rendering and press release and all this kind of stuff back at the end of 2025. So huge deal. And they will be, again, like kind of the anchor retailer at the Outlet Mall. Not exactly sure the size yet. They've said around 70,000 square feet, although I've heard that it could get bigger than that. So I do not think that we have like final renderings or floor plans or anything like that yet. Just for reference, like, even if it is the 70 something thousand square feet, that would be much bigger than Branson. The Bass Pro in Branson is, I think, about 40,000 square feet. It could end up being maybe even the size of the one in Columbia or St. Charles. I think Columbia is in the 80,000 something. St. Charles is in the 90 something thousand square feet. So really sizable location. We're not obviously going to hit the size of the Springfield location. They're never going to let the one at Lake of the Ozarks dwarf their massive complex down there in Springfield. But we would be getting a really nice sized Bass Pro Shop here at the lake. What I've been told is that the store would sit at the back of the outlet mall. So again, if you drive in off Osage Beach Parkway, it would sit towards the back. And, you know, one value of that is that you have to drive past all the other retailers to get it. And the other value is it would actually be able to be seen from Highway 54. So the way they're going to do some of that clearing and construction down there from Highway 54, you will be able to see the big Bass Pro Shops up there. So that's huge. That's really cool news. But again, that's the only name that we know right now in terms of who would be building at the outlet mall. So I want to spend a minute on this, though, because the developers' paperwork that they submitted to the city is a really huge tax incentive package, basically, that they're asking for. It's over 20% of the entire project cost they're looking for as a tax incentive package. But when I say that, that immediately triggers this kind of thinking that, like, oh, gosh, so taxpayers are going to be paying over $100 million to these already rich developers, so, you know, for the privilege of them coming and building something in our community, right? That's what you think of a lot of times when you think of, like, a tax incentive package. We think of, like, a check. That's actually the way the federal government works, it feels like, a lot of times, which is insane. That's not at all the kind of incentive package that these developers are asking for and that other developers around the lake have been receiving for actually, like, decades at this point for large developments. So I want to explain for a minute exactly what they're asking for, what the precedent is on this, because you can totally be for or against this incentive plan that they're asking for, but you should only be for or against it if you actually know what you're talking about. And a lot of people have no idea what they're talking about on this. That may be willful ignorance, or it may be just because they don't know how this works. So let's unpack this. There's actually a lot of different, almost like bullet point incentive programs that they're wanting to take advantage of. And we're just going to go down them one by one. By the way, a lot of these you actually saw with the Oasis at Lakeport project. It received several of these tax incentive programs. Other developments at the lake have gotten these too, and we're going to touch on those. So first, the first incentive program that they're looking for is a TIF. That's what you've like heard this, that phrase or that word used a lot around the lake for years. And TIF stands for tax increment financing. And again, it has that word tax in it. And so people immediately think, oh, they're going to get my tax dollars are going to just go straight to them. And that's not how that works. By the way, your tax dollars, if you're thinking of like your income tax, that doesn't go to like the state. Anyways, or I mean, I guess everything flows through the federal government, all these insane places, but it's not like the state or the city, like your tax goes to them. There is obviously a state income tax, but like these are actually mostly incentives they're asking for from the city, and the city doesn't like have your tax dollars in that way. Now, there's definitely like sales tax and some other things, and that's what we're going to get into. So the TIF is basically, it would take some of the new tax revenue that's generated by the project. So that means like property tax increase due to increased property value. So we'll just pause there. Property taxes are a thing. They're a terrible thing, by the way. I think we should get rid of property taxes. That's a separate episode. But property taxes, so let's just imagine, I don't actually know what they are. I didn't look it up. I should. But let's just use round numbers. Let's just say that the property taxes at the outlet mall right now are $50,000 per year. That's what they pay out in property taxes. Interestingly, that's actually quite a bit less than they were paying a decade ago because the property has devalued. You can check out some of the photos of the condition of some of the areas of the outlet mall that we published at Lake Expo in our most recent outlet mall article. The property is literally worth less, and so the property has been assessed at a lower value, and so the taxes are lower. But let's just imagine, for the sake of this math, that the property taxes are like $50,000 a year right now. And that's what whoever owns the mall, which it's now this investment group, formerly it was Simon, let's just say that's what they were paying, is $50,000 a year. Well, once this whole development is built out, which they're saying I think would take, it would be a multi-phase thing, and they like up to 2031, like the year 2031 is when the final phase would be complete. But once it's built out, well, obviously there's a lot more there than there is now, and it's a lot more valuable. So it would, there'd be reassessments that happen, you know, annually or whatever. And maybe when it's done, the actual property tax on that place would end up being, let's say $500,000 per year, okay? So in that case, again, these are just kind of made up numbers for this example. The owners would, are asking for the difference between the $500,000 and the $50,000 that they're paying now. So that $450,000 gap. What they're asking for is like, hey, can we take that and just, they would pay that out as a, as taxes, but they're asking, could that be basically like rerouted back towards paying off some of the cost of this development? My understanding is largely these have to go towards certain kinds of costs. Typically it's like infrastructure related costs, right? Not like necessarily like paint on the walls or something. It would have to be more infrastructure focused. That would all be hammered out in the TIF agreement details. But that would be the ask. There, the argument there being, we are significantly adding to the property value of this place. And what we're doing is going to bring a lot of economic activity into the city. Will you give us more or less, it's honestly, it's like a freeze on our property taxes. And then what we would have paid in property taxes above and beyond that, can that be redirected towards paying off development costs for the project? Now, again, in some TIF agreements, it all kind of varies. Every agreement is different, but in some agreements they actually will say, well, and then, you know, let's, because a lot of these have like a 20 something year time horizon, 23 years or 25 years, something like that. So they would say, okay, yes, but by year 10, you have to start phasing back in your property tax payment. So, or it has to start, some of that has to start going to the taxing entities, right? That's county or whatever. So, yeah, you can, it can just be 50,000 and then the remainder can go towards paying off development costs. But in 10 years, like by year 10, after you start the development, some of that would need to then go towards the taxing entity, and then a little more the next year, a little more the next year, a little more the next year, and so on until the end of the TIF period. In that case, all of it then, all of the property taxes going, being paid like as it would normally be paid with any other business. So that's one part of the TIF. The other part of the TIF is a sales tax portion, and that's a similar thing. They're basically saying, hey, listen, there's going to be a ton of sales tax generated at this site. I haven't looked into the details. I don't know if they're asking for some or all, but they're basically saying, can we redirect at least some, if not all, of the sales tax that would be paid to the city? Since that would be, if we don't develop here, the city wouldn't be getting that sales tax at all, because it would just be same old, right? Like 15 stores operating at the outlet mall, struggling along, right? So we build all this new stuff. There's a ton of new sales tax revenue. Instead of the city getting that into its general revenues, can those be directed back towards paying off some of the project costs? So that's what that is. On the TIF side, that's how that works. And again, not a permanent arrangement. It would be like completed after a certain number of years. Typically, it's 20 something years. Okay, next one. That was only the first one. Are you still listening? Are you still here? State supplemental TIF. So that first TIF they're hoping would bring in with the property tax and the sales tax about $40 million over the duration of the TIF period to pay off the development cost. Okay, the next one is state supplemental TIF. This is literally the same thing as the first TIF, but it's on the state side, and it's specifically with the state sales tax, because Missouri has a 4.something% sales tax. And then again, you're like, well, I pay more sales tax than that when I go shopping. Well, yeah, because the city has a sales tax, sometimes county will, or different things, right? So the state portion, the 4-whatever% of sales tax, they're saying, hey, you know, they have to work that out with the state, but they're saying, hey, can we get the state portion of our sales tax diverted towards paying off project costs? That's all the explanation you need on that one. They're estimating that would be around $24 million over the TIF period. Next one, city hotel sales tax rebates. So I read that and thought the city does not have a hotel tax specifically. So what are they talking about? So I checked with the developer and with the city attorney. Literally, that just is the sales tax that the city and has and like applied to hotel rooms. It's just the sales tax. They have to itemize the hotel room portion of that. I don't exactly know why, but that's what that is. And that would be another $2 million over the development payoff, that whole payoff period. The next one, this is a pretty big one. Community Improvement District, known as a CID. So this is like a special district, like with boundary lines that are drawn specifically for this development that can add an additional tax onto transactions that happen in that development. So this has already been used for multiple developments at the lake. You saw this very thing, the CID, Community Improvement District, at the Osage Beach Commons development over where the Hobby Lobby and that and those stores are there. If you shop there, there's an additional small tax added onto your purchase, and that is the Community Improvement District tax. You also saw this kind of thing at Eagles Landing, which is where Menards and Buffalo Wild Wings and Kohl's all are there. So that's how that works. The next one is Transportation Development District. And so this is similar to a Community Improvement District. This is a special district that is specifically for this development. Again, they draw, you know, lines around the development, basically, that would go towards paying specifically like for transportation infrastructure, like roads, parking, like all that kind of stuff, right? And again, this is the same deal. Like there would be like an additional little tax on your receipt that shows up. And a lot of times, I don't know if it's a quarter of a cent or a half of a cent or whatever tax per dollar, right? Percent. That would go towards paying off some of the development costs. They're expecting to get $22 million from the Transportation Development District. I don't know if I already say this, that from the Community Improvement District, they would expect around $48 million. So from the Transportation Development District, $22 million. The revenue from that, again, would go towards paying some of those development costs. And we already see these around the lake. Pruitt's Point uses this. You actually still notice that on your receipts at Hy-Vee and Lowe's and Target and all that. That pays for the ongoing, you know, like transportation infrastructure costs there, and they're allowed to levy that. Next is Entertainment District Revenue. So this is another like special district that's allowed to be created within the boundaries of this development. Missouri law like allows for this, and that district could impose certain taxes on entertainment-focused amenities, or at least it would support the development of entertainment-focused amenities. So unclear whether or not that entertainment district revenue, like would that only be applied to entertainment-type stuff? So like if there was a, you know, like a little venue that they built there, is that where that tax would be levied? I don't know exactly how that all plays out yet, but it would be another special district that's created with a special tax that's levied to support the development of entertainment focused amenities. So again, we don't know what those are yet because they haven't shared. So there's a lot that we still want to know, but it makes me think that perhaps they have some entertainment components planned at this development. So again, to clarify, a TIF and all those tax incentives that we just mentioned are not like the city of Osage Beach having to dig deep in its pockets and find, you know, go search in the couch cushions and all this and fork over your tax money to pay developers for the privilege of bringing that developer here. No, it's actually more like a developer saying two things. First, saying, hey, can we use most or all of the new tax revenue that's generated here at our development to help pay off some of the development costs? And then secondly, can we charge a unique tax just to people who buy stuff here at our development and then use the revenue from that tax, or you call it a fee almost, right? Can we use the revenue from that tax we're allowed to charge people who buy stuff here to pay off some of our development costs? That's what these tax incentive things are. Again, you can be for them, you can love them, you can hate them, but it's important at least that you know what they are. And if you listened this far, hopefully you have a better idea of what they are and what they are not. That's a lot of what's happening at the lake. And we are only in early February right now. And it is shaping up to be a really interesting year at Lake of the Ozarks. Hopefully see the completion of the Oasis project. Hopefully see some like groundbreaking and things happening at the Outlet Mall. And again, I think there's going to be stuff happen that we don't even know about yet. So really cool things coming. You guys stay tuned and stay tuned for more episodes of Take on the Lake. I really appreciate everybody who listens to this show, who finds it interesting, informative, helpful. Our goal is to be a resource for things that are happening at the lake so people can understand what's happening in their community. We want to be a connection to the lake community for folks. And we also want to ask interesting and challenging questions of people that are doing big things at the lake. So thanks for tuning in. If you would, go ahead and like our Facebook page. Go ahead and subscribe to Take on the Lake wherever you listen to podcasts and share it with your friends. But again, thanks everybody for your support. Stay anchored, stay curious, and we'll see you soon.